Our topic today is meeting together and what the scriptures have to say about that. We are going to consider what the apostle wrote in his letter to the Hebrew brethren in chapter 10, starting with verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we possess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good work, good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, and let us encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. We do have a hope, don't we, brethren, a wondrous hope. The apostle has told us to hold on to that hope faithfully without reservation. We have the hope of being of the same nature as our Lord, that is immortal, and being with him, living with him. 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We hope to be counted among the 144,000 and have a part in the blessing of the world of mankind. Revelation 14:1 and verses 4 and 5. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as firstfruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. And then Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. I saw the thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And that's us, isn't it, brethren, if we make our calling and election sure. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshiped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. That is our hope. But do we know our hope is secure? 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. We also know our hope is secure because God confirmed it with an oath, and he cannot lie. Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And Titus verses 1 through 3, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. And then Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that God, our God, is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Our hope is something that binds us together into a unity or oneness of purpose. Jesus' prayer to the Father was for us to be as one or united. John 17:11. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. The psalmist wrote, how pleasing and precious it is to live together in unity. Psalms 133. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. With this hope within us, we are able to be united, to spur one another on to love and good works. Ephesians 4:3-6. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. If we have the same hope and are of the same body and one in spirit, we will do good unto each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:10-11. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. So the brethren in Thessalonica were doing just what they should have been doing. We will live showing our love and concern for each other. John 13:34-35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And that's a pretty stern statement by our Lord. He certainly wanted us to love one another. 1 John 3:14-20. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Not only will we live our lives as examples, but we will continuously learn and teach the true and unadulterated words of God. Titus 2, 7 to 8. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Titus 1, 2, 11, and 15. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And 1 Corinthians 14:26. What shall we say then, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. We are to speak pleasant words to our brethren, words of encouragement and building up, not tearing down. Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are the honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. Not only will we speak pleasant words, but we will give them constant reminders to refresh our memories of the things we learned in the past in order to help make our calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1, 10 through 14. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. This is what we are attempting to do with this discourse. I'm not telling you anything you haven't already heard or read about before. There isn't any new revelation or interpretation of Scripture, just simply a reminder of what you already know. Our desire is to look into the Scriptures to remind you of what the Scriptures teach. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 7. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and goodness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very good and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. We need to be reminded of God's will for us, as stated by the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 18. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that everyone pays, that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In order to do these things we've just read about, we have to meet together. How can we encourage, help, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgive each other, have pity on a brother in need, lay down our lives for our brothers, or love one another if we don't meet together? How will our good example mean anything if no one sees what we're doing? How can we teach if there's no one to hear us teach? Or how can we remind each other of the glorious gospel message we have received and what the Lord's will is for us? Let us remember what Jesus promised. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Matthew 18, 20. It is good when we meet together in groups to study His word and consider His wondrous love for us. Our Lord's presence with us is illustrated in Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. We who have this common hope will want to meet together, because we belong to each other. We are not alone, but members of the body of Christ. Each of us has something of value we can share with the others. Romans 12, 5 through 10. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him prophesy. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And Ephesians 4, 11 and 13. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. We are all given a gift that we can share with our brethren. Some are given only one gift, but others are given multiple gifts. We are to use them as taught in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. We won't read that. But do you remember what happened to the one given one talent? Because he did not use that which the Lord had entrusted to him, it was taken away, and he lost a great blessing. The ecclesia arrangement allows us to use our gifts and develop other gifts we didn't maybe realize we had. It gives us an opportunity to learn how to develop and love one and another. Learn to forgive as we've been forgiven, to teach, to encourage, to be a blessing and not a stone of stumbling, to work together as a team in class business affairs, functions, and witnessing. In worldly vernacular, it's called team building. This is all well and good, except that the adversary is trying to arrest the use and further development of our gifts. He would like nothing better than to disrupt our good intentions and love for our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our brethren. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We have to be consistently on the alert for him. He likes to hide in the weeds, looking for weakness in his prey. Disaster usually occurs when the prey leaves the safety of the herd. And so it is for us. We have added safety when we are attached to a company of the Lord's people. The lion's roar is an essential part of their interaction. It's used for communication, intimidation, territoriality, and defense. Their roars cause fear. We recently beheld a roar that caused fear, the COVID-19 pandemic. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, meeting together in person became difficult, if not impossible, in most circumstances. So we, who have computers and smartphones, resorted to meeting via the technology we're using today, Zoom. We have appreciated the ability to meet together with the press of a button. In fact, Zoom has provided a means to expand our abilities for increased fellowship and study. Our Wednesday night study has added brethren from the West and East Coast, for which we are very grateful. But there are definitely some disadvantages to Zoom. It doesn't provide the intimate relationships that we are so familiar with when we meet in person. In some ways, they have become quite impersonal. We can't shake hands or give each other a hug. Not only can't we shake hands and give each other a hug, but we don't even see each other's faces or hear each other's voices because we leave our video and audio turned off. And that's especially during conventions. We see names, but we don't experience the joy of seeing our brethren, our brethren's smiling faces. Nor do we get to observe if they have a troubled look that might indicate that they need help. Another disadvantage is we can't sing together or rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Romans 12:15. And we can't carry each other's burden and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. It seems that only a small handful of brethren engage in discussions or fellowship during Zoom conventions. Chat rooms are seldom used for renewing of friendships or fellowships. I have heard that some have abandoned class meetings and only attend Zoom conventions. It would seem from what we have seen in the scriptures that whenever possible, those who are able would be well served to engage in in-person study and fellowship. There's nothing better than when our natural families meet together on special occasions. And so it is when those who fear the Lord talk with each other and search the scriptures to see if the things they are told are true. These are wonderful times in our lives when we meet together and we study the Lord's word together. We now in our class, because of our age and other health circumstances, meet by Zoom. But we did have an opportunity to meet together and have a meal. And what a blessed event that was. When we were able to shake each other's hands, give each other a hug. It was very heartwarming. But if Zoom is your only means to be with a brethren, turn on your video and audio when it's appropriate. Be engaged with your brethren. Participate. We are living in troublous times, brethren. The lion, the devil, is waiting for the least sign of carelessness on our part to snatch us away from our brethren and our Lord and devour us. I fear that the COVID pandemic has caused the zeal of the Lord and for the Lord and the brethren to wane among some who have gotten out of the habit of meeting together. Let us consider the Apostle Paul's advice given to the Philippians. Philippians 2:1-4. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own needs, but also to the interests of others. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. James 1:25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. It takes effort on our part to look into the perfect law contained in the word of truth and do what it says. And we can best do that by meeting together. So let us take the admonitions that we have in the scriptures and act on them responsibly. The apostle tells us, do not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day he was referring to is the day we're living in. How could we become discouraged by the day we're living in and need so much encouragement? Pastor Russell wrote about our time and made the following comments. The Lord foresaw these perilous times and knew how much more than ever we should need each other's sympathy, encouragement, and help. The nearer we come to the great day of the Lord, the more precious are our opportunities for Christian fellowship. We need a counterbalancing influence to offset the increasing influence of the world and its affairs upon us. And this is to be sought by communing with the Lord's people. Matthew 24, 10 to 14. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. We're living in the end times. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 5 and 17. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since the fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawlessness of lawless men and fall from your secure position." 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. And in these days, it's possible that we could become seduced by those who have this form of godliness and start slowly but surely taking up some of their habits. We don't want to do that, brethren. We want to remain pure. 2 Timothy 3:1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. We may get discouraged by those terrible times. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. That was from 1 Timothy 4:1. The lion's roar is an essential part of their interaction. It is used for communication, intimidation, territoriality, and defense. Communication is the transfer of information. We live in a time of information overload, also known as infobesity, infotoxication, information anxiety, and information explosion. It describes when one has too much information about an issue and is generally associated with the excessive quantity of daily information. The problem is so great that computers are being used to do tasks commonly associated with intelligent beings. It's called artificial intelligence. The term is applied to the developing of systems that emulate characteristics of humans, such as the ability to reason, discover meaning, generalize, or learn from past experience. In other words, these machines are attempting to take knowledge and information and create understanding and wisdom. The problem with artificial intelligence is it's no better than the input it receives, and it cannot tell you how it arrived at the conclusion it came to. Another problem is that it's everywhere and often not identified as such. We are bombarded with information from our computers, our smartphones, our television sets, our newspapers, our magazines, and postal flyers. Our time can be completely captivated by information on Facebook, X, formerly Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, etc., etc. This is part of the adversary's game plan for drawing us away. Our meeting together and study of the scriptures to see if these things we are told are true will keep our minds on things above and leave little time for the deceptions of worldly wisdom and understanding. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. Ooh, my fingers are not working too good this morning, brethren. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. We know where true wisdom, understanding, and knowledge come from, and it's not from worldly sources. Proverbs 2, 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 4, 4 through 7. He taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Our meeting together acts as a filter for us as we separate worldly wisdom from the wisdom that comes from above. James 3, 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. The apostle continues in the 10th chapter of Hebrews with these words. We're reading Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him? And who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to come into the hands of the living God. If we stray from the protection of the body of Christ and get deceived by the wisdom of men, the wisdom of the adversary, we could find ourselves in a situation described by the apostle in the sixth chapter of Hebrews. And that's added to what he just had said. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. This is a place none of us wants to be. Our brethren are a safety net for us. They help us to see and understand an ill-advised path we may be taking. They will instruct us, kindly reprove us if necessary, encourage us, help us to see the truth of the scriptures and the Lord's will. And the best way they can do that is when they see us in person and they can talk to us and converse with us and find out what's going on in our lives and in our hearts. Reading on in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 32 through 39. Remember those earlier days when you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. The apostle recognized that we might become discouraged with our faults and weaknesses. He implores us to take encouragement from what we may have endured in the past. If we went through it once, we can go through it again, can't we? We are also helped by the comforting words contained in the scriptures and the encouraging words of our brethren. Brethren, that's all that I have for you. I strongly encourage you to meet together in person so that all the things that we have read in the scriptures can be impressed on our minds and giving us opportunities to do those things with our brethren. May the Lord add his blessing.